The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
During Ramadan, we see the traditions that are shared by many faiths. Believers engaged in prayer and fasting, in humble devotion to God.
Ryan really is the epitome of the pro-life Catholic, and Joe Biden is clearly the epitome of the social justice Catholic.
The HHS mandate says that the government can force people of religious conviction to violate those religious convictions. It's egregious. It's a violation of the separation of church and state, and it cannot and will not stand.
Confessional Lutheran deadheads, love, issues, etc.
We hear a lot lately about the economic crisis in the European Union. There is an exception over there to all of the disaster stories that we hear from various countries like Italy and Greece. Germany seems to be trying to keep its head above water and an exception in that very sticky economic and political situation. Now, why is that? Is it because Germans are hard-headed? Which is kind of the stereotypical way of explaining it. What is it about German culture that we may not be seeing here, at least as clearly as we could, that it would explain their different approach to austerity and to the Euro, so-called Euro crisis? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Stephen Osment will join us here in the first few minutes. We'll talk with him about Germany, the Lutheran worldview, and the Euro crisis. Then it's audio open lines. I want your answer to this question. Todd Akin, the Missouri Senate candidate, has recently made some remarks about rape and abortion. And he's trying to respond to an argument that says, well, if you make an exception for rape and have an abortion, then that should really be an argument for abortion on demand for all 9 months. What do you make of that argument? How do you react to it? And how do you react to Todd Akin's recent remarks about rape and abortion? We'll be playing them for you, some of the news surrounding it, and then it's audio open lines on this Monday afternoon, August the 20th. Now, earlier today, we interviewed Dr. Stephen Osment about Germany, the Lutheran worldview, and the Euro crisis. Dr. Osment is professor of history at Harvard University, author of the book The Serpent and the Lamb, Chronic Luther and the Making of the Reformation, and he's also written a recent op-ed piece for the New York Times titled German Austerity's Lutheran Core. I began our conversation asking Dr. Osment what most observers fail to see about modern day Germany.
Well, we always have this dark cloud of anti-Semitism, fascism that you have to kind of move out of the way before you can really get a good picture of Germany. It's too bad that that cloud has stayed so long, but I think it's beginning to clear. If you look at what German austerity has done for the Germans after the war years, you know, the Germans paid war reparations like nobody in the history of the world. And faith and charity and self-sacrifice and all of these good things that are there. So Germany has two histories, really. The one that is, you know, before the Nazi period, and then the second history is the Nazi period. And there's a terrible habit, I think, which I've criticized in a little book called The Mighty Fortress. There's this belief that the Germans the Nazi period are really the real Germans. And, of course, that's such an exaggerated thing. And people who look at Germany that way, you know, are really not being fair to history or reading history as history has occurred. But I think that this is being broken apart, and things are enlightening a lot better these days. I think Angela Merkel and her stance in this Euro crisis, you know, is really quite laudable. Although I've had a lot of mail that is very scornful of Merkel and think the Germans can never get out from under all the bad things they've done. You have to realize that you don't visit the sins of the parents or the fathers onto the sons here. And I don't want to, you know, just beat that drum, but I think that's the problem that you always have to cut through, and I think it's better now. Merkel, for example, what I see her doing here is trying to get the yes by the way of no, that is trying to better things with this a rather long period of austerity. Yes is a settlement of these things by way of austerity. I'm getting a lot of negative correspondence about that, as if the Germans are just being harsh now to themselves as they've been harsh to other people. But all of this, I think, if you look at it honestly and follow these developments, I think something pretty good is going to come out of this Euro crisis.
How would you describe, and you do argue that a Lutheran worldview in a general sense, born of the ideas and the distinctions made by the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, is pervasive, maybe implicit, but how pervasive is it in the German mindset, even today after the period of fascism and Nazism and all that?
Oh, I think it's very pervasive, and it's not just Lutheranism. You know, there's a lot of Germans who are secular and not necessarily religious, but they, you know, would follow this model of this Lutheran model. I mean, no country wants to have, you know, a large population of dependent people, benefit dependency. You know, you want to have people who are strong and can carry their weight and can help other people. So I don't want to make too much of the fact that this is Martin Luther is saving the Germans in the 21st century. You know, he was saving his Reformation in the 16th century. Many good things came of that. And the reason I jumped on that is that I thought at the beginning of this project, I thought that there was just too much concentration on the economic side of the story. But as every good historian knows, you know, culture and religion and all of these things are every bit as powerful as the dollar, and even more so. So I was, as I pondered this, I said, what is missing in this story? And what's missing in the story is to bring in, you know, a historical point of view that can focus in on the side of the religious forces here. And of course, when you got all of these like Merkel and other German leaders now that are very prominently Lutheran, you have to make you have to make some comments on that and explain, you know, what that might be. And I immediately just saw that connecting nicely with these more mundane reforms that the Germans were trying to insert.
You write in particular about Luther's idea of a community chest that wasn't just a way of kind of lifting people out of temporary economic hard times, but a way of really kind of individual recovery wherein those who had recovered on account of the community's generosity could then, as they say nowadays, pay it forward, but literally pay it back. Talk about that.
Well, here you, if what they're trying to do is to have a strong citizenry, a citizenry that can take care of itself. It's not always dependent. And it makes, a great deal of what we're looking at now that confuses people is here you have poor people here in these zones. They can't earn money. They're not working. And I run into so many people that say, the Germans are bad because they're not just pouring out money. Germany has all the money, and it should just open up its banks and start pouring it out. But the program here that Merkel is doing, what I said at the beginning of my remarks, is she's trying to get the yes, that is, she's trying to get people to do what she wants them to do. She's playing a game, a smart game of austerity and charity. Right now, these zones, and even in Germany itself, there is a lot of poor German states that have also created a kind of form of benefit dependency, which creates a kind of fear of endlessness, of endless dependency among the Germans themselves. So this is a problem at home for the Germans as well as it is within the larger Euro zone.
We're listening to an interview that we recorded earlier today with Dr. Stephen Osment, author of a recent op-ed piece for the New York Times titled German Austerity's Lutheran Core. He's also author of the book The Serpent and the Lamb, Kronach, Luther and the Making of the Reformation. We're talking about Germany and the Lutheran worldview in the Euro crisis. When we come back a few more minutes with him, then it's audio open lines. What do you make of Todd Akin's recent rape and abortion remarks? You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Well, Justin and Emily are more than halfway through the tutoring program at Sylvan Learning Center. Emily has discovered a way of multiplication that fits her learning style and is getting faster with her facts. Justin is getting better at actively reading passages and pulling out the important points. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking Germany, the Lutheran worldview, and the Euro crisis with Dr. Stephen Osment, an interview recorded earlier with him today. Picking up where we left off, Dr. Osment picks up on Chancellor Angela Merkel and the direction that she has taken during this Euro crisis.
What she's trying to do, you know, is to make sure that there's the citizens of Europe, because this is a Euro problem, and the Euros, all the Europeans need to put their shoulders together here on this one. What they need to do is to find a way to first, you know, break these bad habits of, you know, of not being responsible with money and developing as a unified state that can take care of its people. So one way to see this in a more direct matter than having me here try to think about all these things and spit them out to you. The magazine, The Economist, I've recently been reading, and they make a pretty good case now that this Euro crisis and all of these other things that go with it are about to come to a pretty good conclusion here. They make an argument that there's nothing to gain by breaking up the union, although it looks like that Merkel would like to throw several of these states, you know, out on their britches. Breaking up the euro is going to be far more riskier than fixing the euro. They make a good case for that. You can't save the euro by you know, just cutting out these states. We see austerity in the harsh side now, and I think we're about to see in this in Europe, we're going to have a lot of more charitable actions coming forward. You know, we're not going to have the euro surgery here. And as a matter of fact, that no euro country, it seems, can legally leave or be forced to be thrown out of this. Anyway, I think what we're seeing here is that many people are understanding now that we've had austerity, we've criticized all these things, and right now we don't want to tear Europe apart. We don't want to use the euro. So what we're going to have to do now is to back up and have a little faith and charity. What we're going to need to do right now, I think, is to bring Luther's money chest, and start, you know, digging some money out of that chest and going, taking that route. This is the way to get to yes. I mean, austerity has brought everybody now to the point of seeing that we just can't do it this way. We're going to have to be more helpful. And so Merkel has shown her austerity side, and I praise her for that. She's a tough person, and that's exactly what this situation needed. But she's also just as charitable. She's kind of got the mindset of the Lutheran, you know, where, you know, you're both a sinner and you're a saint. The ways in which Luther described the human situation, and I see that very prominent now in her politics. Now Merkel is austere, but she's charitable, and she wants self-sacrifice, but she also wants to take care of the needy in society. And if you know, if you can't, that's getting to yes. If you can get to that point now, where those people who have been spending like crazy can stop spending like crazy, be responsible with money, be responsible to their neighbor, be strong and not weak, have their hands on a plow and not on, you know, in somebody's pocket all the time, is the way Europe has become a strong land from the beginning, you know. So these are the things that I see that are coming are very good and are going to snap out of this present situation. I could be wrong about that, but I think it makes a lot of sense. And I see, as I try to follow Merkel and her fellow leaders, I see a very bright side possibly down the road. I don't know whether this makes any sense, but this is my feeling, and I've got a lot of emotion in it.
So to summarize that, it sounds like you are saying that you think it is a very positive thing that both Chancellor Merkel and President Gauck, Joachim Gauck, have strong Lutheran roots, if only for the political consequences that you think will be the result.
Yeah, but I think also the politicians, you know, are not that far away from what the theologians here are saying. What interests me as a historian is that from the beginning, a lot of people would pay no attention to the religious side of the story and culture. And the things that really give give life its zest, you know. So I think these things are, I think a kind of charity is going to enter here. It needs to enter here to heal. One good thing that was said that Merkel recently has said that if anybody gets thrown out of the neuro zone, it will not be at her behest. She's not about to break up these zones. She's quoted here in the Economist on that. So I think we've seen this transition that has made many people mad, because when I was first asked to comment on this matter, it was because the New York Times thought that Merkel and company, you know, were being harsh and mean, and the bad German was coming back there, and it wasn't at all. It was the Merkel who was saying no, so she could get the yes. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And so now you see, Merkel, like Martin Luther, knows that people are sinners and saints, and that there are two sides here that you have to work on. You have to have discipline if you're going to be successful here as a citizen on your own and as a country, you know, that's trying to develop and, you know, have a history. And I just think the brightest side of all this is Merkel, and I have got and Martin Luther too, but I'm just really shocked at some of the nastiness that I've got in mail, you know, running down Martin Luther and religion and all of this that's poured in on me, because I think that's. I think the secular and the religious is so well balanced in Germany and throughout most of Europe, and that's going to be the saving thing.
Finally, then, Dr. Osment, what do you think other Western leaders, in particular our leadership here in the United States, could learn from the Lutheran worldview that seems to be permeating the current leadership of Germany?
Well, we'll learn that when the American election is over. I was talking with a friend in Nuremberg, and he, when I talk with him, he always says, you know, I wish we had Obama over here, you know. The Germans, so Merkel would go to the U.S., and she would be the president of America. So Merkel, you know, what the Americans need is, what he's saying is what the Americans need that, and they want that. They want, you know, if Miracle came over there, they could give them some discipline in the economic world, which I think everybody would say right now we need. And so if Miracle was here, that issue would be those people who see Obama being a little too easy with the money and too undisciplined with the how money is spent. That wouldn't happen with Merkel over there. She would bring these Americans around, so that would make the Americans happy, and then we would have we would have Obama over here, and his helpers, and they could they like to throw money around in the year. The Europeans, you know, would like to have a lot more money thrown around. So he, in a kind of a humorous way, he's trying to say that this would make both sides cure each side's problem. Now that's, I think that's more a kind of a kind of joking to a certain degree, but saying something also. I don't know whether this is really how things would work, but it would be interesting to see how Merkel here and Obama in Germany might what it might do to each country would be very interesting to see. At least I think it's a cute little comment to get started on appraising our two lands.
Dr. Stephen Osment is professor of history at Harvard University, author of the book The Serpent and the Lamb, Chronic Luther and the Making of the Reformation. Dr. Osment's also written a recent op-ed piece for the New York Times titled German Austerity's Lutheran Core. You can read this article and find out more about Serpent and the Lamb at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Osment, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
When we come back here in the second hour of Issues Etc., spending the last half hour with you, a question that I have for you. I know you've been thinking about it today if you've watched any of the news. Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin over the weekend had some unfortunate things to say, or they sounded unfortunate, about rape and abortion when asked a question on a local television program. We'll hear what he had to say, hear the president's reaction, some other reaction, and then, of course, he has withdrawn or apologized for the comments about rape and abortion. He talked about whether or not it's a legitimate abortion. It's audio open lines. I want to know, what is your reaction to Todd Akin's comments, to his apology, to the reaction there, and what do you make of the argument often made that he was trying to respond to, that rape is a legitimate exception for abortion? We'll be right back with audio open lines, Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250.
The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And The Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.